Thank you, Chuck. JB, Chuck, and I went out to Buffalo at the time of General Conference in June to meet with Piotr, and I think that it was eye-opening to me how much our church means to them. I knew that we were important in their support, but it became very obvious to me. They lean upon us, rely upon us, and that they have a greater affection for us than what I would have had any idea. And so it is a wonderful relationship, and praise God for what he is doing there. I want to say I am so grateful that Ron Vroman is here today. I'm so grateful that you got the water for me, Ron. I've had a number of you mention the fact that I do keep on seemingly getting better and better as I recover from the stroke I had a few months ago. And I just have a couple of thoughts for you as you continue to pray that God will make that complete. It is so great from my perspective to have my voice back enough that I can actually convey some passion. Seriously, when you're up here and you struggle just to form words and get through, I think that probably you can almost seem a bit robotic. And so I'm not feeling robotic now. I can raise and lower my voice. I can get excited. I can do all kinds of things. It's almost 100% back. It soon will be if you keep praying and I keep doing the right things. And if you were to ask my wife how easy it has been for me to do the right things, she probably could use continued prayer with that as well. How many of you gals sometimes find when you try to tell your husband things that he really needs to know and things he needs to do, that he is unreceptive to your very wise counsel? Thank you. We're in the book of Luke, reading about the Christmas story, and shared a week ago about the subject of peace, the peace that God was able to bring Mary when she heard what could have been just tremendously overwhelming news of what was going to happen in her life. And today we're going to follow that by talking a bit about joy, the joy that God gave her in that situation and how that was expressed. But you may notice, if you have peace and if you have joy, that you already are talking about two things that the Bible mentions as being fruit of the Spirit. How many of you had noticed that? A few of you had. A number of years ago, I felt that as I was pastoring, that there was something that my congregation and I just weren't quite getting. And I couldn't put my finger on it. It had to do with how we measure spiritual health. How many of you consider yourself to be spiritually healthy? Not as many as I would like. More than I guess probably would be the case sometimes in some places. But we were talking on our board, how do we measure this? And, you know, the measurables all have to do with things that you do. And the unmeasurables are often the things that are more important to us personally. And then the lights came on, and we recognized that the true test of how you're doing spiritually is not what you're doing, because you can do almost anything out of the wrong motive and with the wrong heart. It really has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. If you are experiencing love and joy and peace and gentleness, goodness, temperance, faith, all of these nine things that Paul lists. If you're experiencing those things, it's a result of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. And so if you have a shortage of those things, you can find those things. But typically we try to change our circumstance, to try to change what it is that we're experiencing internally. And the fact of the matter is, oftentimes, the answer does not lie outside of ourselves. The answer lies within ourselves. We're going to find love and joy and peace and these other things as a state of our spirit, irrespective of circumstance, or possibly we will not find these things at all. How many of you have noticed that a person can have a lot of money, they can have a great circumstance, everything can be going seemingly well in their life, and they can be deeply unhappy? I've noticed that. I have experienced that in my own life. And so as we travel through the message today, I would like you to be asking yourself, how much of this am I experiencing? Because God has these things for you. He has peace for you. He has joy for you. He has love for you. All of these things. Heavenly Father, as we share from your word, I pray that you might just put your hand on us, touch us, bring your spirit into us in a powerful way. And I ask that you would help us look beyond circumstances, things, events, and to just really allow you to reveal what's going on down within our hearts right now. And we thank you for that in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home. And so at this time, that's where the scripture began in verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried. The angel had spoken to her, and he had given her momentous news. As we shared a week ago, she is being told, in essence, that she is about to become a central figure in human history. She's about to have all of this work of salvation, all of this tremendous plan that God has had down through many centuries, in a sense, placed upon her shoulders when she is carrying this baby. She is carrying our salvation within her womb. When she is wondering, perhaps, am I walking too far in traveling to my cousin's place? And am I stressing things to a point I should not? She is not only wondering on her own behalf and on behalf of the baby, she is wondering on behalf of all of us. And so the weight of this responsibility is absolutely enormous. And yet we see Mary is handling things as God would have her. She begins after now Elizabeth has told her these wonderful words. She begins to sing. She has a song. And I think it's important that we recognize that that is the fact. She has a song that rises up within her heart. Now, I don't know about you, but occasionally I sing. I do my best to do it when no one can hear. I leave the public performances of that to my son. But there are times that a song rises up within your heart, and you just find yourself feeling that you want to express great joy. How many of you ever experienced that? And so that is Mary's response. But let's consider the fact that it is not always easy to sing. It's hard to sing when you're shocked. How many of you will admit to ever being shocked? I guess when I was a young man, I was a prideful guy. There is no question about that. I prided myself on never appearing to be shocked. No matter what I heard, I prided myself that I would not betray the fact that I was startled, shocked, amazed, or anything else. It would be, yes, I understand. A nuclear attack is underway. The missiles are going to strike in about 10 minutes. Okay, thank you very much. No, it's... You might say, Pastor, that's an exaggeration. No, that really isn't much of an exaggeration. Oh, I want to tell you a story. I don't think I ought. Well, the first time I remember actually being shocked in ministry is when I heard the news that a man who had recently lost his wife was going to remarry. My wife is laughing. Well, there's a reason I was shocked. I'd been down at the hospital to see this woman before she passed away, and I knew her quite well, knew her husband, I thought, quite well. He was in the room when Linda and I stopped in, and he left to go across the street to get something to eat, and she watched him go out the door, and she told me, and I quote, "You watch. I won't be cold in the ground before he has another wife." To which I called her by name and said, no, it won't be that way. She said, "I know him better than you do." I had to admit that was true. She passed away. They had the service. About 2 weeks went by. About 2 weeks, 2 weeks went by. I got buzzed by my secretary in the front office. There's someone here who would like to see you. Well, who is it? Well, he wants to surprise you. So I walked up. It was a good hike. Walked up to the front of the church to where that front office was, came around the corner, and here he was with his arm around a woman I had never seen before. And he said, "I'd like to introduce you to the next Mrs." My secretary, Ruth, said, "Your chin almost hit that counter." What was even worse is that later in the day, I was on my way out east of Grant to make a contact with a fellow who was a dear friend of mine, and he had heard some about this and decided to pump me for information. Now, I'm telling something about myself if you're ever in that same place of wanting information. I wasn't about to say anything if I could help it. So we're driving down the road, and he said, "Well, brother, I heard that so-and-so is getting remarried." "Yep, that's what I hear." "Kind of soon, isn't it?" I said, "Well, he promised that he was going to be faithful until death parted them." I said, "There was nothing there about death plus a year or even a month." Quiet for a couple of more moments. And then he said, "Well, I suppose she would have been okay with this." I started laughing so hard, I had to pull off the side of the road. I had tears running down my face. She was not happy with this. So yes, there are times that we're shocked. But there are times that we're shocked by things that happened to us and things that are weighty. Many of you have received a phone call that left you shaken. Many of you have had someone stop by the house, sometimes stop by the house at really the wrong hour of the night and shared things with you that left you shaken and left you feeling that your life had been turned upside down. How many of you ever had that kind of a call or a visit? And it's not a pleasant thing. I have, yes, been in that circumstance. I just want to say that it can be very difficult to gain your equilibrium because emotionally you can be all over the board. You can feel, okay, I have a grip on this and I know how to handle it now and I know how I'll move forward. And a couple of moments later, you feel as if it's all hopeless and you don't have a grip at all. And so you'll go up and you go down and you're all over the board. And then you keep perhaps finding out a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And sometimes, frankly, you think, it just keeps getting worse. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you thought, okay, at least we found the floor, we found the basement floor in the situation, and then someone just got out a jackhammer and began to knock a hole in the basement floor? So it can be difficult to sing when you're shocked. Mary has been shocked. Now, I know it's a long time ago. It's hard to get our minds around this, but again, try to put yourself in the position of having this weighty news brought to you. First of all, wouldn't you be shocked simply seeing an angel? Hello! That doesn't happen every day. I mean, simply seeing an angel and having one speak to you, I think would mess with your mind for a good long time. But then what does he have to say? Well, highly favored, how very blessed you are, because you are about to help bring into the world the Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. All of this is going to come to you. Yes, she's shocked. I think that's part of the reason why she hurries so quickly to talk with this older relative of hers, to begin to try to get some kind of a handle, perhaps, on the situation. And she now is strained. She hurries on her journey. And it's a bit of a hike. I believe that as I studied, it was perhaps as much as a 40-mile journey that she went on. And so she arrives, and she is shocked. She is strained now, and she is stressed. Shocked, strained, stressed. Some of you would say, that will be me tomorrow morning when I show up at work. Shocked, strained, and stressed. It's hard to sing. It's hard to do anything other than to simply, at that kind of a time, reach within yourself and try to survive through the moment. But we don't see Mary merely surviving. She begins to sing, but I want you to take note of what it is that she sings, because it's great instruction for us. Verses 51 through 53. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. She rejoiced in God as her mighty warrior. God is a mighty warrior. Is there anything that he cannot defeat? Anyone that he cannot defeat? Any situation that he cannot manage? When God chooses to do something, is there any force in all of creation capable of stopping the Creator from doing exactly what he intends to do? And so she focuses her mind, I believe, on this fact. God is my mighty warrior, and he has spoken these words to me. He is able to accomplish what he has said he will accomplish. Has God ever given you a promise? Have you ever wondered if he would fulfill it? You don't know. It's a trick question. You don't know. Pastor, if I nod my head, you're going to preach 10 more minutes. And if I shake my head, you're not going to believe me. True on both counts. I have to remind myself at times that God is a mighty warrior, because the Lord is now my friend. I have a close and an intimate relationship with God. I speak with God on a constant basis through the day. I go to God with my joys. I go to God with my sorrows. I go to him with my concerns and with my uncertainties. And I don't always think of God as the mighty warrior that he is. but I know that God is able to do all things. I know that God is able to crush things that are wrong and things that are wicked. Some of us were kind of concerned a few weeks ago about what direction our country was going to go. Some of us still are concerned. But I just wish to say this. God ultimately allows people to be placed in those positions of authority. Ultimately, God is the one whom all things run through. Nothing comes to me, nothing comes to us except those things pass through the hands of God. I talk with people almost every day who have an apocalyptic view, I would put it that way, of the world around them. And you expect that there is going to be a depression. You expect that there is going to be war. You expect that things are going to be troubled and kings and kingdoms are going to break apart. They're going to fall. All of those things are a part of your expectation. I want to say, if any or all of those things happen, God is still on his throne. Nothing changes with respect to who's in charge. Not one thing changes. God's in charge now. He will be in charge then. There will never be a time when God is not in charge. And God, I want to say, is on my side. You may say, Pastor, how can you know that? Because I know him. And I've read his word. He is on my side. God is my source of blessing. He is my source of provision. He is my source of all things. He is my source spiritually, internally, and he is my source externally. With God, all things are possible. But she also rejoices in God as her covenant partner. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Covenant. Covenant. Contract. 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 How many of you have ever found yourself in a bad contract? How many of you have ever had someone fail to perform what they said they would perform? I see those heads too. I see the eyes behind them. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it God? Has he ever done that to you? Would he ever do that to you? How can you rely on God? Why would you? Let's think it through. Why would you rely on God to keep his promises? First of all, because he can. Some people promise things that they do not have the ability of doing, or to pay things they don't have the ability of paying. God never has that problem. God is able to perform anything he wishes to perform because he can, he can, he can. And so as you look into your life right now, you might want to ponder that thought. He can, he can, he can. So then the question becomes, since he can, a question of character. Will he? What is the nature and the character of God? Is he a crook? We had a president once who said he wasn't. Some of you are old enough to remember when that president, whom I thought very, very highly of and was very loyal to, went before the nation, gave a televised speech, and had a bunch of notebooks behind him saying they contained the entire truth of the matter. Turned out the notebooks were empty. They were a prop. And the president said, "Well, some of you wonder if I'm a crook." "Well, your president is not a crook." "Well, how do I know that?" "Because I said so." "What kind of a character do you have, sir, that you could say so and we would trust it?" "Well, I'm tricky." What about the character of God? Would someone steal from you who gave his very life for you? Would someone steal from you who has given you everything you have? Would someone cheat you that actually has everything he ever would need and can create more of anything if he decided he did not have enough of it? God is my covenant partner. Now, what has God promised to me? What has he promised to you? He's told me through his word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I can rely on that. I was praying a few years ago, I have to admit, in the situation I was praying about, I think I felt just a little bit that I had been abandoned and I had been forsaken. And as I prayed about it, he brought that word to mind. "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And I recognized in a moment of time that he had not. He was still right there. He was right where he has always been. It's not that God is not with me at any point. It's sometimes I'm not aware of it. Sometimes my attention is drawn in a different direction. And so there's hope. And you can have confidence. You can have peace again, knowing that God is there. I don't know about you, but when I have peace, I invariably also have joy. Because if I know that things are well in my life and in my world, why would I not? I'll admit to worrying on occasion. How many of you do? Does that make it right? But I do sometimes. And it's when I allow myself to begin to fixate on what is before my eyes instead of on God himself. When I look at God and I fix my attention, my focus upon him, I find that I always have perfect peace. And I always have joy. And I always come back to a place of love within myself. Let's suppose that you're having a difficult time with another person and you're having a hard time in your emotions toward that person. You might even be married to them. That happens sometimes. And you're struggling in your spirit and you're thinking, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, I know I'm not feeling what I ought to be feeling. I know I'm not really loving this person in the way I should." But you find that the longer you focus on them, the more angry you get. Right? "God, man. Okay, God, I'll pray another 45 minutes. Oh, Lord, help me to love him. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me not to squeeze him by the neck when I see him next time. God, help me not to take the tire iron out of the car. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. You're thinking about the wrong thing. You're thinking about the wrong person. You're thinking about them, and you ought to be thinking about him. Because when you think about him, eventually you begin to remember that he's forgiven you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us the greatest gift of all during this holiday season, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, and that we would experience, not just know in our minds, but that we would experience these things. That no matter how much shock and strain and stress we may feel, that we will, like Mary, be able to look upon you and your nature, your character, your past, what you have done for us, what you will do for us, and that we would have ourselves brought back to a place of peace and equilibrium. We pray, Lord, that you would, where it is your will, change things in our circumstances. But we pray that if it's not your will to change those things, that you would change our internal state, and that you would grant us the ability of being who we want to be. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. In your name, amen.